latest edition of the Polish Guy Podcast.
It's Polish Guy.
We have a model American of the week.
Holy crap, that defense is good.
Let's get on the lighter side of things.
Holy crap, that defense is good.
They are who we thought they were.
They'll find a way to win a couple of games that maybe they should.
All things sports.
Polish Guy Podcast.
I'm ready when you are. All right, we're back for what's part two, and woohoo! You know, it's now time to talk about something that's uncomfortable, but I think it needs to be out there. And we talked earlier about this, and we agree that it should at least be out in the open. Sports in general. Starting to suck a little, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely in some ways, and I'm sure we're going to get to them, but this is almost like, this is almost going to be like, I was thinking about this during the break, this is almost going to be like a philosophical discussion podcast type of deal, you know?
Yeah, it's like, remember when we solved the social issues?
Yeah, I mean, there's a habit on every podcast.
When we solved the Peyton Manning, when we solved all the entire dynamic of the Manning family a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's, but that, you're usually going to get one life-altering change in one of our podcasts.
Right, obviously.
And we're devoting, you know, an entire podcast to a subject that needs to be slapped in the face a little, would you say?
Yeah. Where do you want to start? I mean, this goes... All right, let's talk about this aspect. Let's start with a story. Okay. You mentioned something about... We all know sports are a business. Is it really healthy that now everyone knows? And that there is no nostalgia about really anything anymore?
Actually... It's good and it's not good. I would lean more towards a no on that.
But
it's not good. Because it's more for the, not necessarily for your, if you're a kid, because kids are the ones that develop that nostalgia without really seeing the business at it. It's the adults that could, you know, if you go back to like the 60s or 70s or something like that, the way they're enjoying it, that was as close as they were going to get to being a little kid again.
Sure. Sure. And you know, well, let's start with the most obvious thing. Let's start with the effect, and this goes in so many directions, you know, we're going to sound like, you know, I had a soundboard thing about an unintelligible thing. Unfortunately, maybe the soundboard didn't sound that great on the last podcast. Apologize. You know, it happens.
There's no need to apologize. I mean, it's
part anyway, of we had Dan Gilbert crying. We had the sound of a car crash about the Browns season. Maybe the okay terrific came through. But social media, let's take the UFC story. You have one guy. Miguel Torres. And we're going to go see a fight tonight. We're going to see John Bones Jones.
Who do you like in that fight?
I don't think Machida has a chance, but it's MMA.
Right.
I mean,
anything can happen. Quick breakdown. I think stylistically Machida could give him his most difficult fight to date, but I still think Johnny Jones.
He can. It's just, wow. Have we seen a fighter this complete in a while, though, as far as John Jones? Yeah, ever?
No, but they, you know what
scares
me? Well,
ever, of course we have.
You know what scares me about Johnny Jones, though, is that it seems like his head is getting awfully big right now, which is totally not good.
Saving from a mugger may have not helped.
Well, how so?
That mugger before the fight.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the beginning of the head swell.
I think the head swell. I think to be a
he's been disciplined to this point. You got to until it actually happens. You're gonna have to give him the benefit of the doubt.
You do have to give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, these are things I would not say to his face, hence the podcast, because he's pretty tough, and he's unorthodox, and this is what you're... He's just going to be the first in a long line of guys that are going to start to come out as this sport develops, but he's the first guy that's going to come out, you know, at an early age and have ready, set skills like he does.
Yeah, you're going to start seeing these younger and younger prospects,
you know, coming up, you know, with full-blown, you know, with a complete skill set, whereas, like, these are just, like... Now, Hendo and Shogun, though, tells you that doesn't always matter, though. Because Hendo, I don't know if you saw that.
Yes.
He, you know, he beat up Shogun pretty good.
He did. But let's take the story. You know, you got Miguel Torres. He tweets a rape joke. And the joke is, windowless vans should... If windowless vans were called surprise vans, they wouldn't be as feared. Everyone loves a good surprise. Even that is a shorter version. But and then you have a guy at a live press conference make a joke that is basically about Jerry Sandusky, Rashad Evans, Torres fired.
Yes, fired. Shit can.
Just gone. Over a social media thing. So...
Which he's not going to be the first, and he's not going to be the last.
Now, social media in sports, you know, I felt like it was going to be a good thing. It was a way to interact with fans that have now been shielded. I mean, think about this. I mean... Because of safety issues, athletes have shielded themselves from the fans more than ever before. There's more fear, it seems, more bodyguards, things like that. You're not often going to run into a sports star at a bar and just be able to hang out with them.
No, that's those.
You know, Bill Simmons talked about hanging out with John Hanna at a bar.
that would be pretty cool, actually.
And he said it was cool. That just doesn't happen anymore, you know. But, unfortunately, social media now seems like a thing where more and more athletes, in a way to connect with fans, are now just hurting their careers much more often than they're helping them.
Right.
And that's going to lead to the fans being shielded off even more. So, if you get to a point, like, look, I think there already are for some teams, there's going to be social media rules.
And I think in certain ways there has to be, you know, because what I've noticed about texting in general, you know, I'm pretty quick, like, I'm very sarcastic, as you all know. You know, I try to... You know, I throw out, when I'm talking on the phone, I'm trying to throw out, you know, little funny bits and jokes and stuff like that, which can be quite annoying, but they don't translate as well on the text. You know,
no, they don't. And you know, we ended the last podcast.
Because you can't text emotion or delivery, and I think that these athletes are trying to be witty or funny, and it just comes off horribly, you know, because it's a literal medium. You know, texting is very literal. Written word is very—it's very hard to write any kind of satire or emotion or wit. You know, it's very hard to do that.
And what we're starting to do is rip emotion out of sports and even from the fans.
Yes.
You know, we just talked about intent and letter of the law, and this is also something that's the thought itself that's written is concrete. And it's hard to see the intent in social media. It's a little different scenario than what we talked about, what happened in the Massachusetts high school game.
Right.
But it's the same type of concept. So where sports are eventually going to go is this is going to go away too. This is going to go away as well because too many guys are going to lose their jobs. You know, and there should be rules like don't put the playbook online.
Yeah.
And a general rule, of course, is always going to be don't embarrass the team. Well, when you have a sense of humor, And look, a rape joke is a poorly tasted thing to do over social media. That you know, obviously,
right.
Everyone has those backdoor jokes.
Yeah, I mean,
and everyone has a group of people or someone in the group that makes that tasteless joke that's always done in the back room that no one else is supposed to hear. Now people are seeing it, and now people are reaping the consequences of it. And even worse, when those things are going on, now also because of social media, there is no privacy.
There's no privacy, and I think that's part of the problem. We want to get into what everybody's doing, what they're, you know, tweeting, what they're watching, the people, and I don't think that's really healthy. I think people should be able to...
No, and you know, and that's what, as fans, do you care about that? I don't care about that. I don't care about... I want to see the jokes. I want to see the interaction. I want to see... You know what was fun stuff? When, like, Chad Ochocinco or Chris Harris of the Bears and people like that, well, when he was a Bear, they would do random things like, meet me here, you get a free dinner.
Yeah.
You get to see me, here's a free dinner.
Yeah.
That was positive stuff.
Right. And that was, it was witty, and it was original, and it was cool. It was cool.
But then, because of this faceless criticism, everything is criticized.
Oh, yeah. Even criticizing is criticized.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm guilty of this as well. I do a podcast. But...
We're part of the cipher.
We're part of the cipher. What I do try to do, and this is a fine line, and you have to be a very unique individual, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here, but what I do try to make important is that I don't get offended by anything.
Well,
I don't waste my life on being offended by what someone writes or what someone says or try to decipher intent and then get offended. I have to take what is researched, and that's one thing that is always done here. I joke about it, and I joke about...
I make fun of you for that.
Yeah, you make fun of me about that.
Because I do absolutely no research.
But that's still not true.
Right.
The truth is tons of research and tons of hours goes into everything done here.
Yeah.
Different
methods of the way we do it, but you not to pat you on the back either, but you do put your blood, sweat, and tears into what's coming out there. I mean, people, you would have cracked up with the spreadsheet I've seen with his for part one of the podcast with your quarterback rating differential, which I said it was a phenomenal stat. Like I said, it would, you know. But, I mean, those are the kind of things that nobody sees that are...
But the point I'm going back to on that is that people have to stop taking so much time to be over-analytical about what perceived offenses.
Well, and that's...
And that's
political
that's,
correctness, you know, that's just the society we live in now.
I'm sorry. Look, I follow it because I have to.
Right.
But my true feelings on political correctness is that it should have never happened.
No, it should have never happened. I mean, there are certain instances where...
Because here's what I say. If you have time in your life to go criticize something, and this is not, I'm not talking about the sports world, I'm talking about things
right,
in general.
Life in general.
Life in general.
Society.
Society in general. There's a lot of people out there that single themselves out, and it's self-fulfilling, and it's not anything about the collective whole in any way, you know. And they take so much time out of their lives for something that is so insignificant. And
exactly.
And when it comes down to it, your life is not really affected by this in any way. And really, we're all guilty of being on the other side. I am. Again, I run a podcast. I love sports. That is the ultimate of something that really never affects you, that you make it affect you.
Well, sports is very, it's,
it's personal because it's part of your personality, like what teams you like, what players you like, what players you don't like, what, you know, it's part of you, and like just in general, like sports is just an aspect of personality, and it's the same thing you could say with movies, music, anything.
But people always cross this line of something that never could possibly affect them in any way, where they all of a sudden feel personally hurt by it.
Right, and you know what it is? It's
and you're not personally hurt. Your life isn't any different.
Well, it's making themselves feel important because they're upset that, you know, they're not a sports star or they're not successful or whatever. You know, like, it's just a matter of, like, it's a lot of times it's self-importance is the basis of some of these criticisms, right, and these people.
Yeah.
Like, the good one, the go-to one are the soccer moms are always the people that,
right.
You know, like those kind of people that, like, hey, you're really wasting a lot of energy on something that at the end of the day doesn't do anything to affect your personal life. And that's kind of the line that you need to draw. If it affects you personally, okay, that's different. But if it doesn't affect you personally, who cares? The guy made a bad joke, okay? Torres made a bad, tasteless joke, which, as we know, I've done my little comedy stuff, and, you know, I'm for freedom of speech. You know, people can say pretty much whatever they
but
want.
But here's the thing. It's a very fine line, but what we're starting to get to, and there should be some rules, but when you start making the rules overly constrictive, that's when you start hurting everything. And yes, it's a tough thing to do because, look, everything else in life, we make it really easy to set rules. And I'm not going to talk about any side because both sides are guilty of this. In politics, everyone runs on how I'm going to change things. And those changes usually are new rules.
Right.
But no one talks about how repealing bad old rules. No one talks about that. And in fact, that process is very difficult. So you're getting overly constrictive in society, and now you're getting overly constrictive in something that was supposed to be positive, like social media. Again, you need smart, rational people running things, and you need unemotional people. You need, and the most difficult of all, you need people that aren't concerned about their wallets.
Okay.
And unfortunately,
that is
hardly.
So you're saying we need robots.
We need robots. Yeah. If this was going to work, you would have needed robots.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, this is like what's happening with social media and how it was supposed to be positive for athletes. It's something that was, you can't take emotion out of people. So this is what I would call natural, it's just entropy. Entropy is natural. I was going to say natural entropy, but entropy is natural. It's already starting to run its course.
Right.
Systems in life are constantly breaking down.
Right. That's the way life is meant to be. Things are supposed to break down.
So, I don't know where this social media thing is going to go, but the way I'm seeing it now is that this is going to be another avenue that was going to be positive for athletes to still connect with fans, and it's going to end. And it's going to end swiftly. Now, things like Twitter and Facebook will then just be information engines. Now, I don't know what that's going to be. Like, you know, obviously I'm on Twitter to promote myself and that sort of thing. A lot of what I use it for is because it does move information so quickly.
Right.
Now, the entropy that has occurred because of that is mostly journalistic integrity. that has been destroyed.
I mean, there's no...
Because now it's all about...
What is that called again? Because I haven't heard of that.
I don't know. They had it in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing. At your job, some things that are mistakes are basically ignored, right? Everyone has an expectation that some mistakes will be ignored, or else you have just constant criticism, you'll never be confident, and eventually you'll lose your job.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, like, overly micromanage every little aspect of...
So, here's the thing. When things that don't affect their lives, people become overly sensitive. Meanwhile, things that actually affect their lives, they're the proper amount of sensitive.
Right.
Because even in that, there's a line you cross, you get fired. You embezzle, you get fired.
Right.
You, you diddle the secretary, everyone finds out about it,
right.
You get fired.
Right.
You know, those are proper things. And in sport...
Unless you're the owner, then the secretary gets fired.
Oh, yeah. But then they get...
I'm going back some years on that.
unless you're the secretary. But then you, since you're an owner, you know a bunch of other cronies, you get her a job somewhere
right,
else.
So that way you don't get your ass sued off.
Right, exactly. So it's a really interesting, and this is where we've gone ass backwards on things yet again. Let's talk about the most popular sport. Football. It's supposed to be here forever.
Right.
But there's no rule saying that. There's no rule saying that football has to be number one forever. It's marriage between the money and HDTV and...
That it is, it's, that's a game that is built for television.
Yes. And we do love the carnal aspect of football, and it's always been a part of... You know, of course, you can go to the Carlin baseball versus football thing. Really, baseball never had a chance.
Right.
As soon as the country became technological instead of pastoral, well, football is technological, baseball is still pastoral.
Right.
So, that's actually part of Carlin's rant, and he's absolutely right. But with football...
He's done a lot of things, though. But
It's really weird on some of the things that he talked about 20 years ago that are happening now. But that's another
let's
podcast.
Like my boy Bill Hicks.
Kyle Orton Sr.?
Yes. He does that. I'm telling you, that's a body double for Bill Hicks is Kyle Orton.
I mean, I really wish I could see Bill Hicks with a proper neck beard. You could just...
Yeah, well, he had it when he was fighting his cancer and everything.
He did.
And the one picture that's inside the Tool album.
Yes.
He does rock the Kyle Orton neck beard. So, I mean, it's...
Strangely impressive.
Yes, but they are strangely similar.
And if you're one of those people who believe in reincarnation...
No, because we're still alive at the same time.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily... You know, processes can start before others end. If you truly believe in a higher power or whatever.
I go by soul.
Yeah,
souls were still here.
We're not turning this into a guy talk, but football... But football, you know, we talked about Colt McCoy. We talked about concussions. The NFL is looking into that.
Yeah, as well they should.
And that's not going to be the first time that the NFL looks into that. Because the NFL is trying to protect its brand on concussions.
Yes.
More and more lawsuits are going to come out.
Well, you know, I think a big linchpin was the Dave Duerson suicide.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of the start of, like, well, we got to get serious.
Andre Waters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if this happens again and somebody decides to sue the NFL...
Then it will happen.
And it will happen. I guarantee it.
I mean, Colt McCoy, you can just say that Colt McCoy and Chris Dielman might have a case right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's no, I mean...
And the NFL...
The case against that, though, is that they're saying, hey, they wanted to be out there. That's their only out that they have. But it's up to, you know, whoever they, you know, referees...
You're never
going
to be able to... Just like you're never going to prevent someone from being greedy, you're never going to prevent someone from being a liar.
Right.
Or a warrior.
Or a competitor.
Or a competitor.
Yeah.
Whatever word you want to use.
Yeah.
A liar, competitor,
I mean,
warrior.
And in football with... You know, guys getting knocked senseless.
But eventually you're going to have all that, and it's starting to come down to the pike now, which is why the NFL has started to try to protect itself.
Oh, yeah.
But...
Protect that pot of gold that they got.
But then,
Ebenezer Scrooge's war chest that they have at the NFL offices.
Right. But even then, the NFL has tried to pass the buck again on it, because now they want referees to try to do that.
Yes. Yeah.
And the referees, while affiliated with the NFL, they're a separate portion of the NFL. You know, I've been talking about this for probably a year and a half now. I mean, football's number one. We love the entertainment value that it has now. But, you know, we still want to see that we're Americans. We still are going to be drawn to the best product. We are elitists by nature. The American dream is an elitist dream because the American dream, by definition, is making everything you want to be of yourself. Well, that means becoming a rich person, which means trying to be the top 1% of everything. So we want to see the top 1% of everything. We do. It's in our heads. We see
that. That is definitely an American collective. That is definitely how we think. We have to be number one. We want everything that we absolutely ever want in life. But that is bred in our nature.
But I don't see a way, because not everyone's going to lie on the sideline. So I don't see a way that football goes down a path where you do not eventually have very well-defined medical play limits.
Yeah, I know you've said that before.
That means, and just very simply, that means worse football. Because that means the starters are going to have to sit out when they get their concussions, and you're going to see worse football. You're going to see more Curtis Painter and less Peyton Manning.
Which would be horrible for the NFL. The only other thing I could think of is if they have like some kind of... they probably have an engineering task force right now on helmets, I would assume.
But they won't sign off on it.
No,
because the lawyers for the NFL won't sign off on mandatory helmets because they're, and here's the greatest oxymoron, whatever. They're afraid of liability. They're afraid they will not sign off on having one specific helmet or one specific research lab doing it because they fear that opens them up to lawsuits if players still get concussions. But they've got a great out there. The reason they have a great out there is because most of the studies I've read says, well, this type of game you can't prevent a concussion.
Right.
You can just do your best. That's, look, I'm not a legal expert. I don't know anything. I really don't know anything about legality. But from the minimal parts that I do know, there's ways to get waivers, but I still don't see how you don't eventually have play limits because, again, as things get more technological, the research is going to be there. The research is going to occur.
It's like the military. That stuff's already been there for years.
And that's the NFL's problem now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because what if someone's able to prove that the NFL had this knowledge beforehand? And they win a lawsuit.
That's coming out of that war chest.
What if someone goes to a pro-labor district and they win their case and it's upheld by a Supreme Court? I don't see how that's not eventually going to happen sometime.
Oh.
So what happens to sports then, to the NFL specifically, when you have worse football in play line? What do you think?
What do I think? What happens to the NFL? Well, inferior product means that something else will come, one of the other sports will come up and be number one. Everybody has its little, life's funny like that. Everybody has their little firm. Okay? You know, baseball's had its run as number one for a century, basically. You know, NFL's, you know, it could go a century, too, for NFL being number one. We don't know how long it could go into the future like that.
No.
Yeah, based on our discussion here, it doesn't look like it. You know, but basketball is going to get its time. You know, there might be another sport that comes out of left field, MMA. Our one buddy says it's going to be the most popular sport in America in 100 years. You don't know what the future holds, but... based on this whole concussion deal and the way society is, it's not looking good for the NFL.
Let's think about MMA and age. Every other sport, you need to be a certain age to really make it.
Yes.
An 18-year-old can't make it in the NFL.
Oh, no.
The NBA has said it has imposed its own limits on age.
I think they need to even impose it a little later, but that's only for pure basketball purposes more than anything. Physically, they, you know, there's kids out there that can play in the NBA at 18, 19, but I think from a pure basketball perspective, it needs to be higher. And it's not, like, I don't want to, like, if you want to get paid, I understand. Like, I completely understand that if you want to get paid, but...
Which takes us back to the American dream.
Right. I understand that. But what I'm saying is that the NBA should have never really, really wavered on that too much for the good of its product. Because you're not, like, that's all I'm saying there. But, you know, and there's not going to be too many 18-year-olds that can play pro baseball. That takes years. There's a few cases.
Well, you know who usually does? Hall of Famers.
Yeah, exactly.
Only the elite of the elite usually start at 19 and 20.
Like anything, like any kind of phenom, there's just some things that certain people were born to do.
That's the funny thing about baseball. If you're going to be a Hall of Famer, so many of them started at 19,
yeah.
20,
yeah.
21, like
yeah.
in the majors.
Yeah.
Even pitchers.
Yeah.
Even pitchers, and as much as pitchers are coddled now.
That's just, you know what, though? That's just, there's just certain people in life that are born to do certain things. And they know it at an early age, and they get that opportunity at an early age. That's usually what happens.
So, we've got this play limit stuff. We've got the effect of social media. Let's talk about... I don't know if this goes back to social media itself or if it goes back to the trends of everything or the trends of journalism. Again, was it better not to know anything about these athletes?
That's a very good question because there are both sides of that argument. And it comes back to the kids, man. And it always comes back to the kids. For the kids, I think it is better for them not to know. Because, like, if you're a little kid, you know, you idolize these. And it's just human nature to idolize, you know, your sports stars, your movie stars, what have you. I really think it's actually better for the kids if they don't know about this stuff. What you're finding out, though, is that a lot of these guys, just like normal people out there, aren't the best of people.
Well, but here's the thing. I wouldn't say that they're not the best of people. We're just finding out that they're regular people.
Exactly.
With elite talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I thought in the same way as some people, I would be a devastated person. I mean... Obviously, Jeff Perlman came out with a book about Walter Payton.
Right.
And his supposed demons were exposed. But here's the thing. This is where we go back to another social issue.
Right.
This goes back to the parents now. Because I appreciate athletes for their excellence on the field and how they generally treated others. People... And in general, you're going to talk about all the great things, but most of all, I don't idolize a person for, and I don't really idolize at all. I think Walter Payton is my hero because of what he did on the field.
Right.
And that's where I leave it.
Well, that's where you have to leave it because like.
But so many people don't leave it there. And it's a trend.
It's scary. There's a lot of adults that are scarily obsessed with athletes. Scarily obsessed.
Which is why they can't feel safe around the public.
Right.
So you have this where we learn about everything, and now I'm offended, you know, because now I'm the fan that's offended because my athlete isn't 100% pure.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not supposed to. They're humans are not supposed to be pure, no matter if they're, you know, elite at anything.
what most of America agrees is our two greatest presidents in the last 100 years were both womanizers.
Yeah.
I mean, so are we surprised that the elite of the other elite are womanizers too?
Yeah.
Or...
Well, a lot of that has to do with opportunity too. And if it wasn't for the obsession with power or, you know, fame, wealth, you know, there's opportunity to be like that. And of course, like, if I had that opportunity, I would probably take it.
Of course.
You know, it's just human nature, you know.
Well, that's where they're not normal people, because they have this elite talent. But that's also why, and it's not just athletes, though. That's why you and I are not CEOs. You know, it's the same thing. It's the same thing about being the elite of the elite. It is about opportunity on those types of issues. And you know what? When most of the time you find out about CEOs, and these are guys that they have busted their ass to get where they're at, and they have terrible family lives.
Yeah,
because they worked because they worked 90 to 110 hours a week to get where they were.
Yep. That was their life.
And they've done that in a way, in a way just to ensure the wealth of their families for future generations, which
right.
is the same thing that athletes are doing.
Right.
So why do we take this one thing and then get so offended by that? Why do we always take, and then, you know, there's this, the Schadenfreude or Schadenfreude, where we like to, we enjoy the misery of others, especially the elite.
Yeah, I think that kind of hits the nail on the head right there. We like to take people down a peg, which, like, that's not the healthiest thing, but, like, people really enjoy seeing somebody getting taken down a peg. That's why, like...
And we see it at the lowest level.
You see it at the lowest level. Just like, you know, you got a guy that...
It happens. I'm an idiot in the back room of his house right now doing a podcast.
Right.
And even I see it.
Right.
But I'm not doing anything spectacular. I love to do spectacular things. I'm not there yet. I might never be there.
Right.
But even I deal with it. So we have to take everyone down a peg. You know, and I don't know what people do, or I just don't understand. So there's a couple of classifications of the same type of people, internet wise, social media wise, just a trend I'm seeing in society wise type of thing, where you see certain people and you see this. I don't know if it's the point we just talked about or if it's a version of self-righteousness. You've got three types of people that are just terrible to deal with. And then the worst thing about it is that these people that are these classifications I'm going to talk about, in a way they're forming management decisions in sports. Cuz it's always, you know, people are getting fired and I'm not saying...
You know why they're getting fired? Because they're afraid of perception or what are possible, which...
No. They're afraid, not necessarily...
Possible repercussions. Not even real repercussions. Possible. What could happen because somebody did this?
But they're also afraid of the continued nonstop criticism by these same three classifications.
Right.
And the first classification is... offended by everyone person.
Yeah.
Like that.
Too many of those right now.
You see it everywhere. Everyone takes the time to be offended by something, and you just see this personality out there. I'm offended by this. You know, not a single positive comment
right.
comes
it's
from
just
these people.
Right, and negative Nelly, you know?
Negative Nelly. And you know what? I am critical on the podcast because, and I'm guilty of this a little bit, you know, we make light of the model American on here, and I do try to talk about positive things when they occur, but unfortunately, a lot of times, that doesn't get listeners. Listeners want to hear criticism, so most of my podcasts are about how things should change or how things are wrong. And I'll tell you, that's not my real... That's my personality here. In real life, you've got to think about the positive things, and you've got to help people out when you can. You've got to do those sorts of things. But what we see in an overabundance of is just, but I also don't do this to someone's face. I will not tweet a person and say, you're an asshole.
Right.
Or you're a dumbass. I won't tweet a person. I won't do that. Because I try to keep it, like, I criticize Lovie Smith all the time. I talk about how he's an average coach all the time. That's a sports thing. If I ever met Lovie Smith, I would probably find out that he's a great guy. And I would always think about him as being a great guy. But
you may find out he's not such a great guy.
Maybe.
Yeah, it could go both ways. You don't know until you meet a person.
So I guess the problem is you see all these personal attacks and over-criticism person where not a positive thing can be said. And I guess that's what gets you listeners, but it is something I fight about. Like, eventually, you know, we're going to have a podcast here eventually, and maybe, I think we're going to have to get Kaba on the phone with this one.
Okay.
We're going to do the wrestling podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a very positive podcast.
But, you know what, at the end of the day is, though? Whether it's negative comments or positive comments, the key, like, for me is, if you're doing something like this, you gotta have fun with it, no matter what it is. Whether it's a good story, a bad story, you know, make your little jokes. You gotta have fun with it. And like the wrestling podcast that we were talking about, because we were all such, you know, we might even have to get Pat in on that too.
This is gonna have to be a round table. Yeah, we're gonna probably get Cobb on the phone, get Pat in here.
Yeah, and I mean, just anybody who enjoys wrestling, and like I don't really watch wrestling now.
It's
a blast from the past. You talk about things that happened, or you know, that's going to be a fun podcast to do.
So maybe that's a way I can make myself feel better about these things, because I'm critical. But you have to understand that this whole thing, I understand, is just the whole thing is a big joke.
Yeah,
I mean it really. I'm going to watch my Bears every week.
Yeah.
I'm going to have fun making fun of Lovie Smith. But when it comes down to it, I'm not that serious about it. I care about my family. I care about my dog. I care about the welfare of keeping this roof over our heads.
Right.
That's what I really care about.
And you know what, though? That's what most people do or should care about.
There's a lot of them that don't. And it feels like a lot of the people that don't are the ones that are feeling some of this, and in a weird way, they're getting what they want because they are feeling decisions. Like, you know, you get all these things, people get fired over accusations.
Yeah.
And, yes, I believe, and again, there has to be lines. There is no way that Jerry Sandusky should have been around Penn State after 1997, and really after 1983, and really after 1977.
Oh, completely.
But the point is,
I still think
it's the constant criticism that these guys really fear. They're always talking, you're always concerned about the bottom line, and the bottom line is affected by an overall majority of the negativity. So everyone tries to just curtail the negativity as much as they can, and it leads to poor decisions.
Hasty decisions, not necessarily in the case of Sandusky or...
Well, no, that's a great decision.
Bernie Fine, you know, like, that kind of stuff. But in general, for everyone that you have that is the perfect and right decision to make at that time, you're going to have people getting accusations for... things that may not be 100% truthful, or like, you know, it's definitely a fine line. What it does is it basically makes everybody have a quick trigger finger on every little thing.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got that quick trigger finger, you know, whereas, you know, you take a Sandusky, which, like, I'll say it once again, I think, like, he needs a 38 to the face. That's, you know, that I would have the quick trigger on that one.
You know, like,
and I'm not saying the quick triggers are wrong all the time, but what I'm saying is we've created this different attitude about things.
Where it's like, okay, say I'm a coach and I start having an affair with one of the cheerleaders or something.
That'd be awesome.
It would be awesome, and I'm sure it's happened. Say that would happen, or say that she was coming up and it never happened, and she accused me of having an affair with her.
Most likely you'd lose your job.
I would lose my job by that.
Even if it didn't happen.
Even if it did not happen.
Okay, well, we got that guy. The other guy that is awful is I can never be wrong guy.
Oh.
People that will not have
life in general. Where
the only commentary that registers with them is their own commentary.
Yeah, they're thinking about what they're going to say while you're talking.
Yeah.
You know, they're not listening to a word you're saying, and they're thinking about the next thing that's coming out of their mouth. Like, those are called narcissists, or what's the word I'm looking for here? The narcissist is a good one. Megalomaniac.
Yeah,
you know, that's there's a lot of that. There's more out there than you think.
I just don't even talk to those people.
And you can, unless you want to hear about every little thing that they did that was right, or a decision that they made, or something that happened. You know, it's all about me, and it gets a little like I think like I try to be a great conversationalist. You know,
right.
That's like that's something I actually kind of take personal pride in, and a big part of that is listening, and I think more people need to focus on the listening.
And that's what I feel things should always be quantified in context, and that's why you'll never hear me say, I'll never just say Walter Payton is the greatest running back of all time. I always say, in my opinion, Walter Payton is the greatest running back of all time for me.
Yeah.
For me only. Whoever else's perception is fine. I don't have a problem with your perception.
I actually like to debate about that. I like who do you think is the, you know,
But I want to have an actual discussion.
Right.
I don't want it to be Walter Payton, Jim Brown, Walter Payton, Jim Brown,
right.
Walter Payton, Jim Brown,
right.
Let's fight.
That's usually how it ends up. But, like, sometimes, like, you know what it is? It's like you got your own personal opinions, and you almost like to see how your opinion stacks up to somebody else's, and that's the way good healthy debates, whether it's about sports or wrestling finishers or who's the hottest chick on the planet. That's why those things are healthy discussions. But you, at the end of the day, you can't say that like just because it's your opinion that it should be set in stone truth.
And the last one that is negative, and I've been guilty of this. This is where I have to say, I'm working on it, people. I'm working on it. The other bad one is correct everything guy. Things can be let go. Okay, you don't have to. You don't have to point it. Like if someone makes a Twitter and they say the Marlins won the World Series in 1998. You don't have to be that guy that says, hey, asshole, it was 97, you're an idiot.
Why did you have to bring that up?
It was the first thing that came to my head. Oh, come on. You've actually had it better than us Mets fans. Which is sad. It's like, there is a Cleveland sports team better than a New York Mets.
Not true. 86.
We might have 86, but...
which could be one of the best... teams of all time as far as, like, full-blown characters.
You need to...
I'm waiting for the 86 Mets movie. That needs to
happen.
Well,
see, here's the thing. There's another there's a couple of great books out there. The Bad Guys Won.
Yeah.
I think that's Perlman, too.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think I heard him talking about it on the radio.
So, you have those three personalities, and they're so prevalent. And I'm trying...
That's hard though, because like I'm an information nerd too.
Yeah.
So, like, if it's something that really like sticks in your craw, you almost have to feel. But then sometimes you got to bite your tongue because you don't want to bust a person's balls. Like,
you know what? It's just like everything else in life. The healthiest way to do it is in moderation.
Right.
So if you're in your brain you're correct everything guy, then then there's going to be some you got to let go.
Well, that's
and in the last podcast, I talked about being called out on Terminator 2. I deserve that one.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was bad. That was bad. They, you know, they do look stunningly similar, though. But, you know, you have all that.
But, like, I bit my tongue on the Richard Bean thing in the
you
last...
You did.
You know,
but I caught it, and I ripped on myself.
I bit my tongue, and I was like,
yeah.
I knew who you were talking about.
Michael Bean, yes.
Yeah, I think it's Michael Biehn.
I think it's Bean. He was on Adam Carolla's podcast,
yeah.
and Bob Bryan was drooling over him, and I'm pretty sure he said Bean.
He's got, but that's why he's not an A-lister, because he doesn't have that name that rolls right off. It doesn't sound like it's spelled, you know?
No, because you're right, because people look at the credits, and they look at it, and they...
Michael Biehn? That's why he's not an A-lister. But, hell of an actor.
Yes.
And you know who I'm talking about, and I said Johnny Ringo.
Yeah.
Because that's...
yep, exactly.
You know, but that's actually a pretty good example. Like, I was like, well, I know you're talking about, but right now it's not the best. I probably should have immediately called you out.
That one, I think you would have been...
But I was I was just trying to let the conversation go.
Right. Know,
because it was really exactly. Like a side conversation, so... I don't know. That's way. See, we just turned into two over-analytical guys on that whole discussion.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know, it's out there, and you got to gauge your participation. Obviously, I'm biased, and I think you can't discuss things with me, guy, and I think criticize everything, guy, are worse things than that. For this podcast, this is judge it on your own, think on your own podcast. If you want to have self-reflection, whatever.
Well, this is then.
If you want to agree with what you said, whatever. If you want to disagree with what you said, whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But I'll tell you this: this podcast is as deep as the ocean right now. Can't get any deeper right now. It's pretty deep.
Not as deep as Lindsay Lohan's vagina.
Okay, it's not so deep anymore. If you're a stoner listener to the podcast, you'll probably really enjoy this. What we just...
by the way, if you are a stoner, you're listening to this podcast, you just heard all that, go outside, lay on the hood of a car with your best friend, and stare up at the sky.
Oh,
right now.
Is that a Wayne's World reference?
Oh, no, it wasn't, but well done.
Yeah, that's...
No, I was just thinking about the time... I was just thinking back to the times in college.
See,
where you can make anything interesting.
Yes.
You can make anything interesting when you're out.
I made getting out of a door one time interesting because I couldn't get out for...
I had a friend who... I forgot what... I think it was a Fool's Rush In poster that a chick had. I had a friend who had a conversation with it. Yeah, I wasn't there actually, but I heard all about it. I was very jealous. I heard it was like one of the greatest highs of people that were around it had ever had.
Really?
Yeah, because he was having this conversation. It was fantastic from what I heard.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. That was an absinthe thing.
Oh, absinthe.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Absinthe gets a bad rap, but if you didn't have absinthe, you wouldn't have The Lord of the Rings. I'm just going to say it, folks. If you didn't have absinthe, you wouldn't have The Lord of the Rings.
I forgot who said it. There's someone who had a famous quote like who said, "I think I'm so good at this because I did a lot of acid."
Yeah.
I think, was it James Caan? I don't know.
It could be Terrence McKenna or Timothy Leary.
I don't know.
Or even Steve Jobs.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, because he talked about all those experiences that he had when he was younger. Or you know.
Well, we just every DARE officer hates us. Right now.
I don't condone any of that.
I'm not condoning it either.
There's all that sponsorship on it. Somebody's going to tweet about that right now, and then we're going to get a lawsuit about how we're promoting the use of drugs and absinthe.
Crap. Damn it, overcorrection guy strikes again.
Well, you know, one time there's going to be somebody that's going to tweet now, well, one time I had two bottles of absinthe. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had conversations with floor posters.
Oh, one upper guy. We didn't even talk about one upper guy.
I think you could almost put him in the megalomaniac category.
Yeah, that's
one upper guy's the, now, if you're trading stories, that's one thing. Like, but one upper guy is annoying.
Yeah. Well, anything else to add? I think we've covered a lot. We've actually
solved the world's problems.
We've given people a lot to think about.
Yes, this festive holiday podcast here.
Wasn't all bad.
No, it wasn't bad. I think it's, you know what though? I think it's healthy and refreshing to talk about things that aren't, that need to be said.
I have not.
Whether people like, if you feel like listening, that's great, and we hope you do. If you don't, that's not gonna, because some things just need to be said.
Absolutely. Heck, a fantastic 2.5 hours this time around.
I feel a little closer to you.
I'm gonna move my chair over.
So am I.
Why is your hand on my leg?
I thought that was my leg.
Uh-oh. That might have been a tasteless joke.
Uh-oh. You're not going to fire me, are you, for all those tasteless jokes that I have on this show?
I'm thinking about it. Yeah. How about you take some time off over the holidays? We'll talk after the first of the year.
That sounds good. I've already been laid off once this year.
Excellent. Well done, sir. But folks, if you did listen, thanks for listening. This is a extremely different Polish Guy podcast. No Model American. Just think. I can't get through that without laughing.
Oh my god.
Did I just say that?
I think you did.
God, I really wish I could hear the car crash.
Yeah, I know. You know there's going to be some people that are going to click off after the think and not hear this part.
Right. Those are the guys who went out the hoods of their car.
But these are discussions that happen in bars every day. I'm telling you right now. These are discussions that happen every day.
You know, we should start recording some podcasts just as our random, like, music things. Because you and I always talk about, we never talk about music on the podcast.
No.
We always talk about music in bars.
Right. All right, music, you know, movies, like I'm down for a movie podcast, as you probably know, but, like,
we need
comedy, like, stand-up comedians, like,
yes,
you know.
All right, we're off on
the road. We don't even know you're there anymore.
Thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Holy crap, that defense.